Good morning, everyone. It's Pastor Ian here again. Thank you for joining us on our Sunday service. Today, we're going to be talking about rivalries. Now, when I was a kid, I had the privilege of cheering for the Toronto Maple Leafs every single season, every single playoff round. And when I was younger, the biggest rival, for me at least, was the Ottawa Senators, because every single playoffs, it seemed, we would always face them in the first round. So there was this animosity towards the other team and the best players of that team. You know, the names that we hated as kids, where we would just be fighting about it in the playground. Chris Neal, Daniel Alfredson, Jason Spezza. These are the people that we couldn't stand. And anybody who cheered for the Senators, we were immediately against them. But it made the games that much more interesting, because you weren't just playing any team. You were playing against your rivals. It was an important part of my childhood growing up, is cheering for the Maple Leafs against the Ottawa Senators. But today we're going to be talking about a different type of rivalry. Today we're going to be talking about a rivalry in the gospel, a rivalry between preachers. And what we'll see is that there are different types of people who serve God, and there are types of people who serve God for their own selves, because they're selfish, because they're more concerned about how the gospel can benefit them and not others. And then there are other preachers whose primary goal is God. It's preaching for the sake of God and for the sake that other people can hear about the gospel. But ultimately, the main point today will be that God uses imperfect people to spread his gospel. It's not by perfect people who have everything figured out that God will spread his message of love and salvation. That it's by using imperfect people. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. And it reads, "Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." So, a little bit of a background. So it's clear that Paul is still in prison. He is still writing to this Philippian church because he wants to encourage them, because he sees that his chains are actually furthering the gospel, and by talking about his suffering, he can actually encourage people to continue to serve God. But there's something going on here. There's this group of pastors, there's the group that he calls some people, who preach Christ out of a rivalry towards him, with a desire to antagonize him. So it's clear that even though Paul doesn't mention specifically who it is, there is a group of people who are trying to work against Paul. Now, why might that be? Well, number one, Paul is well-spoken. But also, he's quite a divisive figure in the sense that he is trying to bring the Gentiles into the fold. He's trying to preach the gospel not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. And that can be quite a controversial thing, because there were many among the Jews who were thinking, well, you have to be circumcised. You have to be like a Jew to be a part of Jesus' message of salvation. But specifically here, Paul doesn't mention the Judaizers, the people who support this notion that Gentiles can't be a part of the church. But he does mention that some are trying to antagonize him. It's clear that Paul has made some rivals and some enemies. And Paul doesn't specifically say what they are preaching, what their message is. All that we know is that it's a message that comes from a selfish heart, and part of the goal of preaching this gospel is to inflict pain on Paul while he is in his jail cell. So it's clear that their focus is not on the gospel, it's on themselves and on trying to do whatever they can to damage Paul. So let's just transition now into the tale of two pastors, the tale of two preachers. So we'll just start with the first one because it's the most obvious one. Who are these selfish pastors, these selfish preachers? Well, clearly from what Philippians is telling us, they are people who are selfishly driven to preach the gospel. Now, what does that even mean? Well, what it means is that the goal of their hearts is not on God. It's not on furthering the gospel for its sake. It's on something related to themselves. Personal ambition. This goal, this drive to be the best, to have the largest church, to be the most popular. Now, it's odd because this is actually something that is pretty normal for us. It's normal for us to have ambition. In fact, it's seen as a positive quality to be driven, to be motivated to succeed, to have success. Imagine somebody goes into business and they say, you know what, I just want to help people. I just want to make food. That's all I want to do. I want to make a clothing line. Not because I really want to get anywhere, but because, you know what, I just like doing that and I just kind of want to share that with the world. Maybe they'll have success. And then you have somebody who's a keener who says, I want to make the best clothing line possible. I want to deliver results. I want to have people lined up around the block to get my material. I want to have stores here and there. I want to have success. I want people to know my name. I want to deliver the best product possible. From our society's point of view, which one do you think is going to get ahead? Well, chances are people are going to think the one who is driven is going to get ahead. The one with ambition, with goals, with drive, that's the person who's going to get ahead. Now, what Paul is describing is he's describing preachers who think in a way similar to this, where the goal is, how can I preach the gospel and myself benefit from it? To have some type of success, to be known, to be appreciated, to be liked, to be popular. These are all things that can fit into this category of selfish ambition. It's not seen as a positive thing, it's seen as a negative thing, something that takes away from the gospel message. And I'll give you an example of how this would work. So for example, if a friend comes to you and says, you know what, I see that you have some back pain. Well, you know what really worked for me? I got this back massager from this one company and it really helped me. I think that you could benefit from it. Now, maybe your friend is being helpful and kind and they're just passing along good information. In which case, maybe you follow them and you're like, you know what, thanks for being a good friend. And then there's another friend who just happens to do the exact same thing, he makes the same recommendation, but they actually are getting paid by the company. Well, the good advice may still be true. The back massager may still help you, but the problem is now there's an additional component. Now it's not just, oh, they're trying to help me, but now you're thinking, well, maybe they're actually in it for themselves. Maybe they're trying to get some type of financial compensation by recommending me this product. You say they're biased. That's the problem with serving God with a selfish heart. The selfish heart is, well, you know, if I want people to come to the church, but I'm primarily motivated by the church being larger or more people donating, by people knowing my name, following this YouTube channel, liking every video, posting on Facebook, wow, Pastor Ian is such a good pastor. He's the best preacher. You really need to follow his sermons every single week. Well, now it's no longer just about the gospel. It's now about me. And it peaks at my pride. And it's like, well, maybe you should do it better because then more people will like you. Paul doesn't specifically say that the selfish preachers are actually teaching bad things. He's not saying that. He's not telling us that they're preaching heresy or any type of theological issues. He's not saying that. He's saying that their heart is wrong. That something in their heart is driving them to preach the gospel from a self-centered motivation. So we're not going to talk about prosperity gospel or this health and wealth gospel, which says, you know, if you just are looking out for yourself by giving to God so he can give back to you, we're not talking about that. Because Paul doesn't mention heresy. He actually is mentioning the selfish heart. And that's something we actually have to wrestle with. We have to wrestle with this idea that in all other aspects in our lives, we are encouraged to think about results, to think about goals, to think about being driven, to be go-getters, energetic. And in this aspect of our lives, we're actually encouraged to not be ambitious in that way. To not be so consumed with ourselves that we forget who we're doing this for. And that's when we move on to the second part, which is the other gospel preachers. Paul describes them as people who are loving, who preach the gospel out of goodwill, who do it because they want to encourage Paul in his suffering. These people are focused not on themselves, not on how big the church is or how many people are in it or how much money's coming into the budget. They're just concerned with spreading the gospel. They want people to know the name of Jesus. And you can feel it. You can feel the difference between somebody who's doing it because they just want you at the church and somebody who is excited when you're there. These people have been so consumed by the gospel message that they are driven to tell people about it. Not because they want to be known, but because they want him to be known. These are people whose primary motivation is love for God and love for Christ. And they let it known by what they do. So they are preachers, yes. But they are a different type of preacher from the first group. And Paul mentions that these preachers, he says that they're doing this because they know that Paul is in jail for the sake of the gospel. Not for his own sake. Not for his own popularity. Not so he can say, you know what, I went to jail for Jesus Christ. That's how much I love my God. But instead saying that his chains are advancing the gospel. That's what we saw last week. Paul is looking at it and saying, yeah, I'm in here because of Jesus. Isn't Jesus great? The question is, with what we're doing in our lives, are we doing it from a self-centered motivation or a Christ-centered motivation? When we're serving in the church, are we doing it because we want to serve Christ or because we want people to see us doing it? Now, there are some memes online where it's kind of funny, where it's like the Christian memes, where it's like the one kid who, like, he takes all of the chairs to put away all the chairs because he wants the girls to recognize him. That's what we're talking about here. That type of attitude where it's like, you know, I really want people to notice how much I love Jesus. Not because they want people to see Jesus, but because they want people to see them. And now we come to Paul himself, because now we're actually looking at, well, how does this actually affect Paul? Because it's clear that the goal of the people who love Jesus and who are serving him out of love, the goal for them is to encourage Paul, because they know that he is in jail because he is serving Christ. And the selfish people are doing what they're doing. They're preaching because they're trying to antagonize Paul. They're trying to inflict some type of injury on him. So how does it work? Does it actually accomplish what they're trying to do? Well, Paul actually has a really good perspective on this. He looks at them and he says, honestly, I don't care. How do you not care? One group is intentionally trying to hurt you, and the other group is trying to help you. How do you not care? Paul says he doesn't really care because either way, the gospel is getting preached. And that's stunning. We would expect Paul to say, we should be serving Christ with a selfless heart, that you should be preaching the gospel either out of love or not at all. We would expect him to say that. And later on, Paul does specifically tell us that we are supposed to be serving Christ without selfish ambition. He does eventually say that. But right here, right now, he says it doesn't matter why people are doing it. What's most important is that they are doing it. See, we have this fundamental misunderstanding of how the gospel is spread, where we think that we are the primary movers of the gospel. Now, we might never say that, but we might believe that in our hearts. I can remember in seminary, one of my professors, he told me a story of different converts in North Africa, how they would go to sleep one night and then they would have dreams with Jesus. And in the dream, Jesus would say, I want you to follow me. And then they would wake up and then they would immediately go to a church and then they would find a pastor and say, I had a dream with Jesus and he said, I'm supposed to follow him and I need to follow him. And the overall point was that God actually doesn't need us. He doesn't need us for the gospel to spread at all. He can use us. He may choose to use us. But he doesn't need us. We are not essential for the gospel to go forward. God chooses to use us, but he doesn't need us. That's why it doesn't matter what our motivation is when we're spreading the gospel. It doesn't matter. Because God can use imperfect motives to accomplish his perfect goals. Imperfect motives don't stop the gospel from spreading. Now, it can hinder the gospel. That's true, it can. But that doesn't mean that it stops the gospel from spreading. So in the example that I gave earlier of the friend who recommends you a back massager, it's entirely possible that they were recommending you that particular brand of massager because they were going to get money out of it. It's possible. But honestly, if you've been dealing with chronic back pain your entire life, and that particular massager helps, do you really care about why they were recommending it to you? No, you're just happy that the pain is gone. The same is true of the gospel. It may be the case that the person who's preaching to you is doing it because they want to be known, they want to be recognized, they want people to love them, to follow them. That may be the case, but it doesn't really matter. Because what matters most is the name of Jesus being shared and spread to everyone. Now, at the same time, that doesn't mean that I'm going to encourage you to be selfish about spreading the gospel, being like, I want to spread the gospel for me, so that way everybody knows how great I am. I don't want to encourage that. But at the same time, following after Paul's example, would that be the worst thing in the world? Not if it got people talking about Jesus. The motivation here is Christ-centered, about getting Jesus' name out. Because that's what we want. We want people to know about Jesus. We want people to know that his sacrifice paved the way for us to be reconciled to God. That's what we want. And sometimes that means we have to deal with people with imperfect motives. Because God chooses to use imperfect people to accomplish his perfect goal, which is to share the gospel with everyone, to make disciples of all nations. I'm not a perfect person, and I'll be the first one to acknowledge that. I'm not perfect. But if God chooses to use me for his glory, but because God chooses to use imperfect people, it means that we don't have to wait until we are perfect to begin doing ministry. We don't have to wait until we have all of our ducks in a row, or we know exactly what we're supposed to do or why we're supposed to do it, to get involved. And yes, even if you are that kid who's picking up all the chairs because he wants to get all the attention, so be it. Serve. Because the hope is that as you are serving and as you are ministering and as you are spreading the gospel, that some of it will rub off on you. That the love of Jesus won't just be something you talk about, but it will be something that you experience. Something that you know deep down in your heart, as opposed to something that you just talk about. Paul rejoices in jail when he hears about this, because his enemies think, oh ho, I've got Paul. I can be better than him. I can do so much damage to him by being better, by people knowing about me and not knowing about him and knowing about my ministry. And Paul says, I rejoice because the name of Jesus is proclaimed. And this for us is an indication of how we are to live our lives too. To recognize that there are imperfect people that we are going to be meeting, and to not always resort to judging them and saying, you know what, you're not doing this for the right motives, you're not doing this for the right reason, and you know what, that means you're not, you should not be doing ministry. Sometimes, yes. But Paul is showing us that perfection is not what God demands of us before we start ministry, before we start serving him in the church. That yes, God desires us to serve him willingly, lovingly, for his sake. That is something that God desires. But Paul is just happy to see people talking about Jesus. And it's something that we want too. We want to see people talking about Jesus. So if you're one of those people who wants to talk about Jesus because you want to be popular, because you want the attention, the right motivation is because we love Christ. The right motivation of our hearts is that we are so captured by the gospel that we can't help but spreading it. But either way, talk about Jesus. Spread the gospel. Tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And pray that the Holy Spirit works. Because ultimately, if the Spirit is not there, then all we preach and all we talk about and all we say is in vain. It's God who ultimately calls people back to himself, not us. He may use us imperfect people for his glory, but ultimately it's God who does the heavy lifting. Paul's in jail and he's being antagonized, and he responds by glorifying God and saying, I'm just happy that people are talking about Jesus. God uses imperfect people to accomplish his perfect goals. My encouragement is that even though there may be times when I am ambitious, or I may have that desire, that drive to be known, or to be respected, or to be liked, that does not all of a sudden disqualify me from being a servant of Jesus Christ. That God accepts my humanity before I come to him, knowing that time spent with him will actually change me. that His Spirit will work in my life to take away my selfish ambition and to replace it with selfless love for Christ, for God. But until then, to keep on serving, to keep on helping people. Because if we wait until all of us are perfect and have all the perfect theology and have all the perfect motivation, then we'll be old and gray, sitting and waiting and never moving. So instead, let's serve. Let's minister. Let's tell people about the gospel. Even if it's something small and minor, tell people about Jesus. Tell people about how He has changed your life. And maybe someone might be listening. Amen.